welcome to a special episode of Music for Life, a program which explores the purpose and value of music to humanity's enrichment. I'm Ryan Malone, concert manager for Armstrong Auditorium and host of this program. This is another one of our special episodes that I've titled Pre-Concert Talks. These episodes, only 1 hour long instead of our usual 2 hour format, will air the week of a concert at Armstrong Auditorium here in Edmond, Oklahoma. And we are coming up on another exciting event here at Armstrong. This is the Polish Baltic Philharmonic Orchestra in a live recording they made back in 2010 of Tchaikovsky's Sixth Symphony. This is the orchestra that will be performing here at Armstrong Thursday, March 3rd, 2016. This orchestra has 3 albums to its credit, one under the direction of the illustrious Sir Neville Mariner, a recording of Benjamin Britten's War Requiem. They also made a recording in 2006 of various Hungarian and Slavonic dances by Brahms and Dvorak, respectively. And this is their latest album, an all Tchaikovsky recording. But at Armstrong, instead of Tchaikovsky, the orchestra will present an all-Beethoven program, including Beethoven's most famous symphony, the Fifth, as well as his Fifth Piano Concerto. This episode will serve as a pre-concert talk for that performance. In it, we will discuss the Polish-Baltic Philharmonic Orchestra, this all-Beethoven program, plus the internationally acclaimed Polish pianist they are featuring in their concert at Armstrong. As stated in our first few pre-concert talk episodes, where we discussed the upcoming performances of Joshua Bell, Gerard Schwartz, and Sarah Santambrosio at Armstrong, it's quite common for concert halls to provide printed program notes for concertgoers. Occasionally, some will even provide pre-concert lectures, where patrons go into the hall early and hear about that evening's program. Consider this episode one of those lectures, but one that can be consumed in an audio format like this. For this particular pre-concert talk, or for these program notes, we will talk about the Polish-Baltic Philharmonic, pianist Marcin Koziak, and the all-Beethoven program coming to Armstrong. Founded in 1945 on the heels of post-war Polish independence, the Polish-Baltic Philharmonic is the largest music institution in northern Poland. Based in the city of Gdansk, the Philharmonic organizes symphonic concerts, recitals, and chamber music soirees performed by the most prominent Polish musicians, as well as by many world-famous artists. In the late 19th and 20th centuries, Gdansk, then German-administered Danzig, held the international spotlight as a point of contention between Germany, a budding independent Poland, and those proud locals who saw Gdansk as an independent city-state, the crown jewel of the Baltic Sea. Throughout the mid-20th century, Gdansk became the primary seaport of communist Poland. Gdansk became the location for the first initiatives and protests in the 1970s and 80s, though, that would lead to the breakdown of communism in Poland. The current music director of the Polish-Baltic Philharmonic is Ernst von Thiel. Von Thiel studied percussion and piano at the Utrecht Conservatory of Music in the Netherlands, working with Dutch broadcasting orchestras for several years, which included many recording projects in the field of classical and jazz. Later, he worked as the chief conductor for the Amsterdam Promenade Orchestra for 6 seasons and conducted numerous concerts with other major Dutch orchestras, including the Rotterdam Philharmonic Orchestra, where he acted as assistant to Valery Gergiev. Even though von Thiel performed just about all the important works from the symphonic repertoire, he has built an international reputation based on his interpretations of music from the 19th and 20th centuries. He might be most well known, though, for having conducted the Oscar-winning score in the film The Artist. At Armstrong Auditorium, he will be conducting the Polish-Baltic Philharmonic in an all-Beethoven program. Let's talk about that program. To open their program, the Polish-Baltic Philharmonic will be performing one of Beethoven's most famous overtures, An overture is a work usually placed at the beginning of a larger composition. In the case of an opera, oratorio, or musical, the overture is the instrumental movement that opens the vocal or choral production. Composers would also write music to accompany plays, known as incidental music, and this collection of music usually had an overture as well. For instance, Felix Mendelssohn wrote incidental music for Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream. The overture would be heard before the play begins, and in the case of the 1999 film adaptation of that play, Mendelssohn's overture provides the music for the opening credits of that movie. In 1809, Beethoven was commissioned to write incidental music for the revival of Goethe's 1788 play, Egmont. Set in 16th century Netherlands during the harsh rule of Roman Catholic Spain, the play is a tragic drama depicting the fight of Count Egmont against the Spanish Duke of Alba, who was sent to suppress Protestant rebellion. Egmont's imprisonment and execution inspired the people of the Netherlands to fight for its independence. Egmont is known as one of the first leaders of the Dutch revolt during the early period of the 80 Years' War. Written in F minor, the overture acts as a summary of the drama, beginning slowly with a solemn yet intense tone. As the piece continues, Beethoven introduces each character of the drama with varying musical motifs. In the lower strings, you can hear the Spanish judge's persecution. Then the light, airy winds resemble the pleading of Egmont's wife and family for his life. Then the vibrant staccato notes of the brass typify Egmont's guilty sentence of death. Even though the overture is only just over 8 minutes long, it is full of intense emotion and dynamic contrast, providing the perfect blend of all that is Beethoven. Here's a recording of Claudio Abbado conducting the Berlin Philharmonic.
Thank you.
That was the Berlin Philharmonic under Claudio Abbado in a recording of Beethoven's Egmont Overture, the piece that is planned to be the opening selection on the March 3rd, 2016 performance of the Polish Baltic Philharmonic at Armstrong Auditorium. The Polish Baltic Philharmonic is performing an all-Beethoven program that we are discussing here today. We've given this concert the appellation of Beethoven's Fifth because of the next two pieces on the program. Of course, they are performing Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, but the orchestra is also performing Beethoven's Fifth Piano Concerto, also known as the Emperor. Before we talk about the particulars of this piece of music, I want to talk about the pianist that the Polish Baltic Philharmonic is touring with, the pianist who will be performing this concerto. The pianist is Marcin Koziak. Koziak was born in 1989 in Kraków, Poland. He won his first Poland-wide competition at the age of 10 and debuted with the Kraków Philharmonic Symphony Orchestra at age 11. He studied piano at the Kraków Academy of Music, which might be considered the Juilliard of Poland, as well as Texas Christian University. Koziak has won numerous prestigious prizes. Some of them include first prize in the second International Chopin Competition for Young Pianists in Budapest in 2006, second prize and three extra prizes in the 7th Arthur Rubinstein In Memoriam International Competition for Young Pianists in 2007. Koziak was invited to perform in the Chopin Museum in Warsaw, Poland on March 1st, 2010, Chopin's 200th birthday. He released his first album in 2012, an all-Chopin album. Koziak has also performed with many orchestras, including the Chinese National Symphony Orchestra, the Warsaw Philharmonic, the Royal Philharmonic Concert Orchestra, Hong Kong Sinfonietta, and the Beethoven Academy Orchestra. At Armstrong Auditorium, he will be the piano soloist for the all-Beethoven program provided by the Polish Baltic Philharmonic. And let's now talk about the Beethoven Piano Concerto that he will play, Beethoven's Piano Concerto No. 5, and what you can expect from this work. Beethoven's Fifth Piano Concerto in E-flat major premiered in Leipzig, Germany in 1811. It was dedicated to Archduke Rudolf, a friend and student of Beethoven, and became nicknamed the Emperor Concerto. The origin of the nickname isn't quite clear, but perfectly describes the concerto's majesty and impressive virtuosity. Emperor was the last concerto Beethoven wrote, and the only concerto he never performed himself due to his advancing deafness. It is the most played and well-known out of all five of Beethoven's piano concerti. The technological advances in piano production at the time added to the concerto's popularity because it gave the performer more expressive power. It was also a favorite of the Austrian composer Franz Liszt, and it was featured in the 1980 movie The Competition, starring Richard Dreyfuss. Like I tell my music appreciation class, to really appreciate Beethoven, who was revolutionizing the music world in his day, you have to understand the conventions as they were at the time. Like, if you know how a particular food item is prepared, then you appreciate it more when you understand how someone changed it. There's a couple things Beethoven did with his Fifth Piano Concerto that were unconventional as far as concerti go. Before Beethoven, most concerti had three movements, the first one fast, the second one slow, and the third one fast. Not only was the first movement usually more lively, usually the main theme was stated right away. This was following a structure we now call sonata allegro form. This sonata allegro form was about the contrast of two main melodies or themes, as we talked about back in episode 3 of our program. And in the concerto format of this sonata allegro structure, usually the orchestra played first, presenting both themes before the soloist came in. So keep all that in mind: lively first movement, melody stated right away, and just orchestra. And listen to the opening of Beethoven's Piano Concerto No. 5. So this is an upset of our usual expectations. The piano soloist enters after the first orchestral chord. Even though the pianist is playing fast passages, the tempo itself might be considered slow or majestic. This is not lively as we would typically define it. Now, there will be a lively exposition from just the orchestra of the main themes to be presented in this movement, but it is after this grandiose and virtuosic lengthy introduction. Let's continue to listen to this movement. We'll hear the orchestral exposition in just a moment, followed by the entrance from the pianist. We're listening to a recording by pianist Van Cliburn with conductor Fritz Reiner and the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. That was just a portion of the orchestral exposition of Beethoven's Fifth Piano Concerto, the first movement, plus the opening bars of the piano soloist coming in after that. But all that was preceded by a lengthy, flashy piano solo-type introduction, which is an unusual start to a piano concerto at the time. We are listening to the recording of Van Cliburn with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra under the baton of Fritz Reiner. Next, let's hear a little of the second movement of this concerto. Second movements of Concerti are typically slow movements, and Beethoven meets our expectations in this regard. This is an exquisitely beautiful movement, and it was recently used at the end of the 2010 movie, The King's Speech. Let's hear a fair bit of this, and then I'm going to fade it out to show you how Beethoven ends this movement in a unique way. So that was a portion of the second movement of Beethoven's Piano Concerto No. 5. A concerto typically has three movements, with the second movement being the slow movement, as it is here. These movements usually have a clear start and stop point, like tracks on a CD. The audience is usually tempted beyond temptation, in fact, to clap after each movement because things sound so complete when a movement ends. But Beethoven was even experimenting with this idea. See, at the end of this second movement, the music doesn't stop when the key changes and the pianist starts to play a slow, foreshadowed version of the melody to come in the third movement. This is called attacca. The composer will commonly write this word at the end of the movement if he or she wants to go straight into the next movement. Let's hear the final measures of the second movement's main idea, followed by this key change, the introduction of a new musical idea on the piano, and then the piano taking off into the energetic third movement. So that was the smooth transition that Beethoven writes from the second movement into the third, the attacca style of movement transition in his fifth piano concerto. Usually at this time, movements were self-contained. You'd hear one end, and you'd probably want to clap. Beethoven gives us no time or opportunity for that. I want to play one more sample of this concerto in E-flat, and that's the last couple of minutes at the end. Beethoven appears as though he will defy our expectations and finish the final movement quietly and peacefully, just as soon as things seem to have settled on the final E-flat major chord. The pianist rips into a swirl of E-flat major scales up and down the piano until it reaches the highest E-flat at the top to conclude the piece. Let's hear this. Again, we are listening to Van Cliburn as soloist with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra and Fritz Reiner conducting. You are listening to a special episode of Music for Life on KPCG. I'm Ryan Malone, concert manager for Armstrong Auditorium and host for this program. We are discussing the Polish-Baltic Philharmonic, pianist Marcin Kozak, and the all-Beethoven program they will present at Armstrong Auditorium here in Edmond, Oklahoma, Thursday, March 3, 2016. This program is another of our pre-concert talks for the various performances we'll have throughout the season at Armstrong. We here at Armstrong have titled this particular concert Beethoven's Fifth, because they will be performing Beethoven's Fifth Piano Concerto and Fifth Symphony. We just heard the final movement of Beethoven's Piano Concerto No. 5, but of course the star of this program will be Beethoven's Symphony No. 5 in C minor, Opus 67. Beethoven's Symphony No. 5 premiered in 1808 in Vienna during an epic four-hour concert. Enthusiasm and popularity for the piece grew immediately, despite the extremely cold auditorium and the many mistakes by the orchestra, who only had one rehearsal prior to the premiere. Remember, the first movement of any sonata, concerto, or symphony is about a main melody and a contrasting melody. The main melody in this symphony is really just a four-note motive. But that iconic beginning motif, da-da-da-da, has been used in TV and movies for decades. Beethoven referred to this famous intro as fate knocking on the door. During World War II, the Allied forces called this symphony the Victory Symphony because the rhythm of the opening motive, short, 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 long, was similar to the letter V in Morse code and was used to signal victorious achievements during the war. Coincidentally, V is also the Roman character for the number 5. The BBC also began its broadcasts in Europe with that four-note intro played on the drums. Beethoven thoroughly develops this four-note idea throughout the symphony, but he also contrasts it with a secondary theme. So let's listen to the opening section of the first movement, what's called the exposition. This is where both main themes are exposed. Here's a recording I have from the Orchestre Révolutionnaire et Romantique with conductor John Elliott Gardiner. So that was the opening section of the first movement of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony in a recording by John Elliott Gardiner and the Orchestre Révolutionnaire et Romantique. This symphony is the centerpiece of the Polish-Baltic Philharmonic's All Beethoven program at Armstrong Auditorium, March 3, 2016. The opening section of any first movement of a symphony is usually called the exposition, and that's what we just heard. Two main themes exposed, one quite declamatory and the other lyrical and sweet. But there is more to Beethoven's Fifth than just the opening movement or those intensely popular opening four notes. Let's hear a little of the second movement. We would usually expect the second movement of any symphony to be a slow movement, and Beethoven fulfills our expectations in that regard as well. Here's the opening of this movement with the main theme carried by the violas and cellos. So that was the opening theme of the second movement of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. A second movement of a symphony was usually slow, and that was the case here. You might recall when we discussed Mozart symphonies in a pre-concert talk earlier this season that the third movement of classical era symphonies are usually in a 3-beat-per-bar dance pattern known as the minuet. Not only that, these movements had a predictable A-B-A symmetry. Part A was termed the minuet section, while part B was termed the trio section, and at the end of the trio section, the score would indicate that the performers should go back to the beginning and play the A, or the minuet section, one more time. When Beethoven came along, he started tinkering with this movement. He kept the ternary form, the ABA symmetry, but he changed the graceful lilting triple meter to a faster driving triple meter, which was termed a scherzo, which is Italian for joke. But this movement sounds like no joke. Let's hear the A and B sections of this powerful movement here. The A section is stern and somber, and the B section sounds more joyous, with the low strings beginning this section with some rapid passages. Again, we're listening to a recording with conductor John Elliott Gardner and the Orchestra Révolutionnaire et Romantique. So that was the first two sections of three total in the third movement of Beethoven's Symphony No. 5. The third movements of symphonies, out of four movements total, were usually a three-beat-per-bar dance known as the minuet. But Beethoven commonly sped that tempo up and called the movement a scherzo. So instead of the typical minuet-trio-minuet format, the form of that piece was known as scherzo-trio-scherzo. Now, earlier we had talked about how movements might feel like self-contained pieces of music, making you want to applaud after each one. And then we talked about how Beethoven used the attacca idea in his fifth piano concerto, leading straight from the second movement into the final movement. Well, he does the same thing in his fifth symphony, taking the third movement right into the fourth and final movement. Let's hear the closing minutes of the third movement, where Beethoven takes the main idea and puts it on mostly pizzicato or plucked strings. Then there's a long sustained chord underpinned by a growing timpani line, and listen to how this builds to the majestic opening of the symphony's finale movement. Thank you. You are listening to a special episode of Music for Life on KPCG. I'm Ryan Malone, concert manager for Armstrong Auditorium and host for this program. We have been discussing the Polish Baltic Philharmonic, pianist Marcin Koziak, and the All Beethoven program they will present at Armstrong Auditorium here in Edmond, Oklahoma, Thursday, March 3rd, 2016. This program is another of our pre-concert talks for the various performances we have throughout the season at Armstrong. What we just heard was a snippet of how the third movement of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony leads right into the fourth and final movement. I want to conclude today's program with the closing material of this finale movement. Another thing Beethoven is remembered for is how he expanded the symphony orchestra. Now, if you've seen the description of the event on the Armstrong Auditorium website, you'll note that we mention how the Polish Baltic Philharmonic is coming in a chamber-sized instrumentation. That's because the orchestra got even bigger after Beethoven, to the tune of about 90 to 100 people. Today, when symphony orchestras tour, they usually come through a city with about that many players. In Beethoven's day, as much as he expanded the orchestra, it still wasn't as big as we know it today. We'd consider it a chamber orchestra. So the Polish Baltic Philharmonic is coming in a chamber-sized orchestration instead of their usual 90 to 100 players. Still yet, let's appreciate what Beethoven did for the orchestra here. We would call the orchestras that preceded him a chamber size as well. So the approximately 60 players you'll see on the Armstrong Auditorium stage is practically gargantuan for that time period. And there is no better movement of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony to demonstrate that fact than the fourth movement. Beethoven used instruments rarely found in the typical orchestra of his day. Most notable is his use of three trombones, this work being one of the first to feature a trombone section as prominently as Beethoven did here. But then there's also other non-traditional instruments like the piccolo and contrabassoon. In this example I'm about to play, you'll hear the trombone fanfare as well as some extremely high rips from the piccolo. So we will conclude today's program with the coda, or tail end, of this fourth movement, where you can hear all that. Remember, you can find out more about this concert at armstrongauditorium.org. On Twitter, you can follow at @armstrongaud for more details, and you can follow this show at musicforlifepcg. Our Facebook page is located at facebook.com/musicforlifepcg, and our programs are also on SoundCloud and iTunes. So as promised, here are the final few triumphant minutes of Beethoven's Symphony No. 5, and I hope to see you at Armstrong. You have been listening to Music for Life. From the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus, I'm Ryan Malone. Thanks for joining me.